Hello, everyone. Welcome back to A Dicey Experience. My name is Jason Sketch, and I am your host, DM, and, you know, the best guy ever. Leading, bringing you back to the next best thing in your life. To my left with a grumpy face on is Lazy Man. Lazy Man, why are you so grumpy today?
Hello, my name is Lazy Man, and I am grumpy because an ogre stole my flapjacks.
I see. I apologize. Well, good news is you get to play D&D. What's your character's name?
I play Jean Lafayette, who is a swashbuckler rogue and also a drake thingamajigger ranger. He's just going to take a dip into every pot, and I don't know, by the end we might just be a wizard and a barbarian and a fighter too.
Good to know. The ogre that's stolen your flapjacks is sitting across the table from you. Stolen, could you tell us a little bit about you?
These are some good blueberry flapjacks. Good thing I'm not hangry anymore.
Stolen. Stolen. I hate to tell you this. I did not put blueberries in those flapjacks.
Oh, no.
I don't think that's what those are.
Oh, my.
Hey, everybody. It's Stolen. I am playing Crew Saipan, the Warlock Tortle, and Captain of the String.
And who's that passing the syrup there to you?
Why, thank you, Meerkat.
I made it myself.
Yeah.
The syrup or the blueberries?
Oh my god.
Whichever comes to mind first, I guess. Hey, this is Meerkat. I play Lucas Fandewear, the human cleric.
Oh my gosh, this is the exact reason why you play D&D with other DMs, ladies and gentlemen. Because they will throw you off every freaking time.
There's no way that introduction is usable.
It's locked in stone.
Well, man, last time we had lots of fun things happen to our party. Jean, do you want to give us a little bit of a recap of what's going on in your world right now?
Wow. Pick the player with the absolute worst memory. We made it to the island of Linguina. Yes, mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, yes, we made it to the island of Linguina after a series of insanity in an attempt to get past a coral reef. We went into the city by night. We got some very tasty rum cakes. We recruited a few questionable citizens to join our crew.
Nope.
No?
No.
Didn't we have somebody go back to the boat? Am I misremembering?
No, nobody went back to the boat, buddy. You guys did get some rum cakes. You did go shopping.
Huh.
And then you guys went back and got Nameless to watch the little dinghy, but
yeah, I could have swore between then and later we actually recruited somebody. Okay, well, that did not happen. We got rum cakes. We went back to the boat and had Nameless watch our rum cakes to make sure that they were safe. And we headed into one of the local taverns. And in doing so, we came across my long-lost friend, Drake, who has been serving out a similar sentence to my own, paying off his debt to the Lady Anne Boleyn. And there was another foe from my past, a gnoll with a scar on his eye, named something.
Fleeska.
Named Fleeska, who was in the process of attempting to assassinate Drake. We intervened and are now in the midst of potentially an all-out brawl.
With that being said, let's roll for initiative. And listeners, good news is, we may say it in the middle section as well, but we are using one of the NPCs that the Sketchdom has designed for us. So thank you again for designing Mahogany Grinder. We do appreciate that.
Mahogany.
Mahogany.
Oh, it's a higher pitched voice. He's a halfling. So Mahogany Grinder. And he's sitting there next to Drake. He seems a little upset that Drake seems to be picking up all of his gold pieces that he apparently lost in that last debacle. So, all right, do we have anybody 25 to 20? Okay. Do we have anybody from 20 to 15?
18.
All right. 15 to 10?
But somehow Crew and Fliska both got 13.
Okay. So we will make Fliska have 12 then. Go ahead.
I got 11.
Okay. Wow. That's good to know.
So there's a lot of people on the map.
There is.
Do we know who's... If everybody is attacking Drake, or is it only some, or...?
The only one that's done any attacking to Drake right now is Fliska. And then there seems to be an upset halfling standing next to him. The rest of the pirates are slowly, because there was a gunfire that's gone off, are slowly standing up and drawing their swords. Or whatever else they might be carrying.
Okay.
But...
And the halfling was standing beside Fliska?
Yes. No, the halfling is standing beside Drake at the center table there.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, he's like literally in the middle of the room. Okay. First things first, then. Combat music has been kicked on, and we are moving. Sitting at this back table back here with Fliska is a little quickling. The quickling, seeing Fliska having fired a shot, having heard at least the name Drake, nods his head, and he darts off with a dash action off the map, out the back door. A quickling's not very big, though you do know who that is. What is his name, Jean?
The quickling's name, everyone calls him Jack, after the old rhyme, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. And very few people know that his real name is indeed Night Silver.
Okay, perfect. All right, John. It is your go, my man. You just fired and shot at a fleece gun in this back corner back here. What do you do?
Okay. Jean is going to move 30 feet, which will take him up to kind of the middle of this bar area right next to Drake and the halfling. And he'll kind of position himself between Drake and Fliska. And John can tell Drake is a little inebriated, at the very least. And so he's going to attempt to just use his body to shield Drake and push him towards the door, and hopefully get out of this tavern without much more of a disturbance.
Okay. It is Drake. Good.
Sorry, I will say I am going to hold an action to shoot Fliska if he attempts to attack us.
Okay.
Either myself or Drake.
Sounds perfect. Drake, it's his turn now. He's gonna be laughing and spending his action picking up the gold pieces and putting them into his pocket. And then he notices you whip by. Ha ha! You look like my friend John! John, I've missed you! And he's gonna lean over and just give you a big old bear hug for his bonus action. Just kind of leaning off the table, so he's a long arms, and he's just leaning down, and he's got his, like, arms around your neck, kind of squeezing a little bit.
I'm going to put one of my arms, kind of like hands grabbing his chin and his face, and try to sober him up ever so slightly and say, Drake, we have to get out of here right now.
It is John! Hi! Oh, we're leaving? You just got here.
Time to go.
But I'm winning.
Not for long.
Crew, what are you doing, buddy?
Crew is going to see Jean sprinting towards who he assumes is Drake. is going to follow suit and run up to him as well and try and, like, get his other arm to help.
Okay. Trying to get him to stay up there, I guess? Or? Just
get his other arm, because he can tell that he's inebriated, so he's going to help Jean start moving him out the door.
Gotcha. Okay. Sounds good. So you're going to kind of grab him a little bit, too?
Yes.
Sounds like a plan. In between your turn and Fleasga's turn, crew, there's this little imp that was serving drinks around. He drops his tray, and he's going to fly, and he's going to hide behind these barrels back here in the bar. In fact, he's going to lift up one of the lids of the barrels, and he's just going to climb right on in and hide inside the barrel. It is now Fleasga's turn. What is Fleasga going to do?
Did I hear Jean and Drake are here? What a lovely family reunion that is. Now I get to kill you both, and it makes my job easier. And he's going to rush towards them and strike at Jean with his short sword.
You want to shoot him on his way over? Looks like he's got a sword drawn.
Yes. So, it seems very clear to Jean that he is not moving in for a nice family reunion, but is indeed going to attempt to kill us. So Jean is going to take a shot as he is running over.
Okay.
Oh, that's not great. 7, 7, 14, 15.
15 hits.
Okay. Okay. So that is going to be a d10. And I'm going to make him my favorite foe, which is basically like Hunter's Mark.
Okay.
But that's 8 damage total. Okay. For right now. Yeah.
So then, using my sword, I rolled a natural 1, so that's gonna miss.
Oh boy. Let's use the new fancy dice I got. Woo-hoo! You rolled a natural 1, swinging your sword.
Fleasga is going to stab himself in the foot.
Sounds like fun. You have sprained your wrist, so you are unable to use that right hand anymore. You now have disadvantage on your attacks. Fun. What a great way to start. Anything else you want to do, Mr. Fleasga?
No, I want to stay within range.
All right. Lucas, two of your friends have darted off running towards this giant bugbear on the table and seem to be trying to push him out the door. This crazy gnoll came out of nowhere and attempted to swing a sword at Jean, but he heard a loud popping noise when he swung, so no good there. There seems to be a couple of other angry pirates standing up. And before you even get to move, there is a half-elf that just kind of seems to sigh. He's sitting in this chair here, and he's just going to walk out past you. He's not going to try to make any contact. He's not trying to do anything to impact you. He's just like, he's annoyed with what's going on in the room, and he's just gotten up and he's leaving the room.
And is Jean, Drake and crew, are they closer to the door, or have they started moving yet?
No, they haven't started moving.
Okay.
Drake is inebriated, he is drunk. They are kind of there, I guess, attempting to push him, but no, they're still over at the center table in the middle of the room.
Okay. I'm gonna move just slightly closer so I can get within range, and I am going to hold out my hand to Fleasga, and I'm gonna cast Hold Person.
Okay.
He needs to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. Wisdom for Fleasga is not gonna make it because he rolled a 3.
It's a DC 14, so he is paralyzed until he can make a wisdom saving throw at the end of his turn. Okay. So I'm going to reach out and hold him, and I'm just going to shout into the tavern, "Hey, everybody, just calm down. We're just going to take our friend. Nothing needs to escalate here. We'll just get him home so he can cool off."
Make a persuasion check for me.
17.
Okay. All right. Perfect. With that in mind, you do see a couple of the pirates still have their swords drawn, but they will sit back down in their chairs. And I will mark them by taking off their little marker tokens, or markers essentially of who they are. So, well, you can tell. So it looks like about three of them are going to sit down. Two of them would have sat down, but they're a little closer to the action than not. So they will take that persuasion very well, though. With that in mind, though, what does your whole person look like? How does that spell look?
Whole person.
Like a kitchen towel that's bound him up, is it?
It kind of like how my command works, where I kind of have a shimmer around me and I clutch my necklace and my eyes shine bright blue and I hold out my hand and then it's just like a force more than anything is just shoots towards Fleeska, who his eyes turn bright blue as well, and he just kind of puts his hands to his side and his head looks up and he just kind of sits and starts struggling.
Okay, beautiful. Next is the Minotaur's turn. Can I hear him? Oh, come on. He's going to step up onto his bar and he's got a trident in his hand that he's kind of pulled from underneath the bar as he's coming up, and he slams it on the bar and seawater spews out from underneath the floorboards and surround him, creating a weird aquatic-like armor.
Come on, boys. You know the rules.
His trident begins to gleam a little bit. John, you know very well that you don't want to make this Minotaur mad. In his own tavern, you have seen him take on a whole fleet. Not a whole fleet, but a whole ship of pirates before in the tavern. By himself, with no problem. Still breathing just fine at the end. So when he's pissed off, generally, you assume people like to listen. After him, though, Mahogany, who sees his gold pieces going into Drake's pockets, stands up, and he looks pretty angry in his eyes, and he is going to make an attack against our good friend here. He is going to... He's going to cast Entangle on him to try to stop him from doing that thing. So, 20-foot square. There we go. So you start to see some weeds grow up around him and start to kind of try to latch around his feet. Within a 20-foot cube or square feet, starting at the point within range, which he's choosing for it to be your bugbear friend. For the duration, these plants turn the ground into area into difficult terrain, which means you're moving at half movement. A creature in this area, when you cast a spell, must succeed a strength saving throw or be restrained by the entangling plants until the spell ends. So these vines kind of grow up out from underneath the table, begin to wrap around, Drake's legs there. They are going to be in that 20-foot range there, and I'll mark it here on the map, right around that kind of that big table there. I'm going to kind of center his point right about there, so you'll be surprised, because with it being his own spell, he's actually not going to be affected by it about like that. So anybody within that green square, go ahead and roll me a strength saving throw.
Is this the Minotaur doing this spell?
It's not the Minotaur, it's Mahogany.
Natural 20.
Okay.
Or 22.
So you're not bound by the vines. Go ahead, crew.
Saving throw, 13.
Yep, 13. Okay, you're fine. Drake rolled a natural 19, so he's okay. What about Fleeska?
Strength throws.
Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
So you are bound by those as well. Cool, and that other pirate back here, he is also bound by it. Lucky him. All right. That was fun. And he looks, Mahogany looks, he's not going anywhere until I get my gold back. All right. It's the pirate's turn. This other pirate across from him goes, yeah! And he's going to draw his scimitar, and he's going to try to swing at Drake, try to get his money. He is going to miss. His sword comes out, he swings his scimitar, and it just grazes against him. So the pirate back here is gonna back up a little bit, He's not affiliated with anybody, but he's kind of just doing his own thing. He's walking away a little bit, trying to get out of the range of whatever might happen next. This pirate is going to move in on Crew from the back corner. He's going to run up to Crew. He's going to draw a scimitar. He's going to try to swing at Crew. And Ty goes a defender, so he does not hit Crew with his scimitar. And this guy is going to notice and saw that you casted a spell, so he's going to pull out his crossbow and he's going to fire it at Lucas, seeing that Lucas has casted a spell on his captain. And so he's going to fire his crossbow. Is a 19 hit you, Mr. Lucas?
Yes, sir.
All right. The crossbow bolt comes at you. You're going to take 9 points of piercing damage.
Okay. Whole person's a concentration.
Correct. So you will need to roll a concentration check. See if you can hold on to that whole person or not.
18.
Sounds like you passed to me.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, there's now a crossbow bolt sticking in your body.
Oh no.
Okay. The quickling is gone, so we're back to the top of the round with Jean.
Jean is going to jump up onto the table with Drake.
Okay.
Put his arm around Drake like we're old buddy old pals. And just address the room in general and say, gentlemen, please, we do not need to have any violence here. Yes, it is true. I am Jean Lafayette. You all know that when I sailed with my aunt Saleh Lafayette...
I knew it was you!
That myself and my first mate here, Drake, were amongst some of the most successful pirates to sail the seas.
Yes,
now,
we were.
I offer you a chance to join our crew as we sail to King's Landing to pillage and to plunder and to take what is rightfully ours. And John will pull out a couple of money bags, toss them down to the halfling and the pirate that's at the table here with Drake, and look at those two specifically and say, this should cover any earnings that you made here at this table. And he'll take another few coins and toss them towards the barkeep and say, for your troubles, sir, and we will be going now. And
we're leaving.
If anyone would like to join our crew, now would be the time to follow us, else we will take our leave and go. And John's going to attempt to pull Drake with him away and out of this entangling vines towards the door.
Okay. Go ahead and roll me persuasion check. Or Drake.
Please be good. Oh yeah, 17.
17, all right. Let's just roll it against Drake's wisdom for fun. And we'll do it with disadvantage because he's drinking a little bit.
I also, from my sailor background, I have a bad reputation feat, which says people are afraid due to my reputation. I can get away with minor offenses like not paying for food or breaking down doors. I'm hoping this being kind of a lawless place that reputation might hold a little more weight and they might be more willing to just let us go.
Okay, I like that. Let me... Alright, the halfling kind of nods and he sits down. The other pirate as well across the table also sits down. So I like that. Good use of that, my friend. It would seem that they both are satisfied that they've gotten something back. It seems like the gold bags are hefty. How much did you put in each gold bag, just out of curiosity?
50.
50, okay. Sounds good. They will both sit down for now. Yeah. It's Drake's turn, so he's walking with you, right? And he's going to trip as he goes off the table. I'm just so excited to see you. I could just fly. And when he does, he kind of trips a little bit coming off this table, and he throws his sword in the air, and the sword begins to fly, and it's going to kind of float and land next to this guy over here, and it's just gonna stab him. right then and there. So, cool dancing sword, kind of flying in the air.
Drake, what is wrong with you? We have to get out of here.
What are you talking about? I'm walking with you. It's an 18 to hit that poor pirate, and does 10 points of damage. That pirate gets the one that shot with the crossbow at Lucas. Suddenly that sword flies next to him, and it just goes right through him, flying from one end to the other, and you just see that pirate fall face first on the ground. Poof, plop. One of Fleeska's pirates are now down and dead. People are getting a little nervous again. But the good news is Drake goes back in for another hug on our good friend Jean there. So, crew.
Oh, that's nice. That's exactly what I want right now.
Crew, you're kind of surrounded. Luckily for you, the halfling seems to be leaving you alone, but Fleeska is standing in front of you, and there's a pirate that has walked up and tried to hit you with his sword.
Since I know Fleeska is paralyzed, I'm not too worried about that. So, I'm going to turn towards the pirate that has swung his sword at me and say, "Come on, man, you really didn't mean that, did you?" And I'm going to hold my hand straight up into his face and blast an Eldritch Blast at him.
Oh my gosh! roll with advantage, because you're basically just putting your hand right at his face, so I'll be surprised if you miss.
Yeah, 21 to hit.
That does hit.
Bear with me, folks. I have to find the right die.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
7 plus. With this last level up, I actually gained something that allows me. Just want to double check. Add my charisma to every object box. So 9 points of damage to him.
Okay. He is, he's holding his face. He's kind of screaming in agony. And he's looking really rough, but he has not gone down just yet.
So then I'm going to take that opportunity of him being not paying attention, run up behind Drake and be like, "So, you're Jean's friend. Tell me all about him."
Oh, have I got stories for you. Who are you? Do you like to drink? Do you have my drink?
I don't have your drink, but I'll drink with you when we get back on the boat. How's that sound?
He starts, "Oh, there's a boat."
There is.
All right, Fleeska, what are you going to do? The imp kind of rattles in the barrel. He kind of pokes his head out for a minute, looks around, and closes the lid again.
Let's see if I make my save. And I mean, that's it for Fleeska. It was a wisdom, right?
Yeah, it needs to be a 14 or higher.
He made a 14.
I guess my DC is 14. That means he succeeds, right?
Ty goes to the defender, so yes, he's going to succeed. Okay.
So I'm no longer paralyzed, but that ends the turn.
Okay. But you're pissed. Mm-hmm. All right, Lucas. I'm sure you can tell immediately when the magic wears off that he's no longer being held.
Has Fleeska been hit?
He has been hit by any attacks. He got...
Fleeska's not
been hit.
Oh, yeah, he did. He got shot.
He's been shot twice. He got shot at the end of last episode, and he's been shot once at this episode.
Okay. I am going to take out a small bell from my pouch, and I'm going to ring it vigorously. Ding, 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 ding. And I'm going to cast Toll the Dead.
Okay.
And he needs to make a wisdom saving throw.
Gosh.
7.
Okay. And takes 1d12 of damage. So it takes 5 points of damage.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I'm the only one that's been hit. I'm gonna just stay where I am. That's pretty much all I can do.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Oh, hello there. Welcome to another thrilling tale of the Middle Bit. The part where I get to tell you how thankful we are of you spending your hour or so with us each and every week. Your continued support truly makes our day, week, and if even possible, year. I can't believe that we've made it to 20 episodes already, and that's in large part thanks to all of you. So please take a second to follow, rate, and even comment on our YouTube videos or audio versions of our podcast. Every interaction boosts us in that ever-daunting algorithm and helps us to continue to grow and thrive and make great content for you for many years to come. So if you weren't aware, our incredible DM, Jason Sketch, streams on Twitch. You can find him there at twitch.tv/JasonSketch. That's twitch.tv/JacenSketch. His great community is helping make some NPCs we are meeting in this campaign. In fact, you just met one in Mahogany. If you would like to help make future NPCs and impact the story, please help stop by and say hi. You may even be able to meet some of the cast of Dicey Experience there, myself included. Another great way to interact with us is on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Twitter at Dicey Experience or on Instagram at A Dicey Experience. If you have any ideas for magic items or you just want to share some amazing fan art, tweet us using the hashtag #ADiceyFate. We would love to hear and see it all from you. Now that we've gotten all that out of the way, let's jump back into the story. I can't wait to see what happens next. Hey! You! Pass the popcorn! There's no need to be stingy!
Sweet. The Minotaur, he's going to attempt again. He's going to take his trident. He's going to slam it back down on the counter. And you know that he kind of does that, the slams three times, Sean. So the third time, when he acts, he's going to act. And it's his nice way of giving a warning. So Mahogany is going to begin to count the gold pieces that was in the bags that were tossed to him, but he has not... diminish or let go of the entangled spell just yet. The pirate that got shot in the face, though, is going to grab his crossbow bolt or crossbow device and attempt to fire at crew. And I love that turtles have high ACs. This is great. He misses.
Turtles are awesome.
So, for those that you don't know at home, what does a base level turtle AC look like, Mr. Crew?
So turtles come naturally with a shell that sets their AC at 17.
Nice.
Wonderful for casters to have. Wow. I am sure of it. He misses. We're back to the top of the round. Jean, what are you going to do?
Jean's going to slap Drake.
Okay.
Right across the face.
Whoa. What was that for?
Summon every ounce of sobriety that is left inside of you and get out of this tavern. And Sean is going to grab Drake by whatever shirt, tunic, whatever he has on, and pull him out of this tavern.
All right, make a strength.
And onto the street.
Make a strength check for me.
Yeah, that's not going to go well. nope, that's a natural one.
I
probably like broke a nail when I slapped him or something, and it hurts really bad.
you're able to find the robe that is wide open. He's not wearing any pants. He's not wearing any shirts. It's just
the
robe. So you're able to start tugging on that a little bit. It looks like you've at least got a firm grip on his fancy Japanese robe there.
He's tugging on his rope, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I will grab the robe, and whether the body in it comes with me or not, I will be leaving and walking out to the street.
Okay. He's going to kind of waddle with you. He can move up to 15 feet. if you're going to hold on to it for that distance, he'll walk that distance with you because he was in the entangled. He can only move that far. But his sword on his bonus action will hum and fly towards the guy that just fired the crossbow bolt at Crew and make an attack against him there. And he hits. So that's good news. And it goes through him as well. He also goes down and dies. Both of Pliska's pirates that were with him are down. The sword has flown kind of and is in melee with Fleeska. All right. That's fantastic news. Crew, what to do?
Crew is just going to keep following suit, just pushing Drake basically in the back, leading it, trying to lead him out the door.
Okay.
So you have Jean pulling him in the front and Crew pushing him in the back, saying,
Make a strength check for me.
So you know, Drake, we have tons of rum on that boat.
Now you're talking. All I got is this, and he pulls out an alchemy jug, and it's definitely full of beer. But rum sounds amazing. And
I rolled a 10 for strength.
You're helping more than John's pulling. cool. The imp is going to hear him kind of latch something on the inside of his little barrel like he's locking it up. It's pretty loud, surprisingly loud. Fleeska, what are you going to do?
Fleeska is going to see that they're retreating, but also knows that he's been hurt a lot. John, Drake, this won't be the end of it, you know that. And he's going to turn and start running back towards the back door where the quickling exited.
As he's running out, John is going to call out to him, "Tell Sale to meet me on the high seas by King's Landing if she's man enough."
No, you don't have to worry about if she's man enough. You know that better than anybody.
You do know, Fleeska, whether this impacts anyone else or not, both you, John, and Fleeska, you guys are aware that King's Landing is in the Warforged, the Spoon of the Sea is what he's called. But he is the Cardinal of the West, and it's kind of in his sailing territory. And the Cardinals, there's four of them, as you guys are both well aware, the North, South, East, and West. And they're kind of all on the same-ish level of power. So she might have to get permission from him to be able to sail over that way. Yeah, good times. Anything else,
nope,
Mr. Fleece?
That's it. Okay. That's it. Since he... both his guys are dead, so.
Lucas, the guy that shot your friend, is getting away.
He seems to be running away, and no one seems to be attacking us, so I'm gonna follow them out the front door.
Okay. The Minotaur stands there. He seems to be watching. As you guys are leaving, he's not gonna. He doesn't stamp his trident the third time, as of yet. Kind of hear Mahogany mumble under his breath something to the effect of, "This isn't the amount of money that I lost, but this should suffice so I don't, you know, die." But kind of seeing that the Minotaur is still standing on top of the counter, and whatever commotion was happening is diminishing, and realizing he probably can't take all four of you, he's just kind of mumble as he's recounting that money back out. Pirates, they're all dead except for the one standing next to Fleeska, who is, he's going to keep his sword drawn just in case Fleeska tries to attack him, but he is going to kind of move behind the bar a little bit and kind of get out of his way. Jean.
Jean is going to continue to pull Drake out of this tavern and into the alleyway.
Okay.
And try and get out of the Minotaur's domain. If anybody fights us in the alleyway, then John's happy to stop and fight there. But he doesn't want to keep things going in that tavern.
Okay. Do you want to make another strength check to try to pull him with you?
Sure. Let's see if we can try a different dice and get a better result.
You don't like the one?
Not a huge fan. A 6, I guess, is slightly better.
Yeah, it seems to be helping that that crew's pushing him from behind.
It's great teamwork.
Yeah,
we got this.
Oh, John, let me show you this cool sword I got. And you see as he kind of reaches his hand out, the sword flies back into his hand. And he starts to follow you out the door as well. So he's got his fancy little sword in front of him.
Drake, that is an amazing sword.
Right?
For the love of all that is good and holy.
Yeah?
Focus.
Yes.
We need to get to the shore, get you to the shore, so that you can guard our rum cakes. It's the most important mission you've ever had.
Roll me a persuasion check with advantage, please.
18.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really important. Oh, yeah, man, let's do it. And he'll start walking with you guys. I think we're out of initiative at this point, unless you guys want to be an initiative to try to get out of the tavern.
No, I'm good. I've just kept following
As you walk out, Lucas, you'll see the Minotaur begin to climb back down from his counter and stand behind the bar.
So I'm assuming none of the other pirates decided to follow us out and be part of the crew?
No. None of the other pirates seemed, at this point in time, interested enough to walk out and follow. They were
losers.
Losers. Well, you have a mix of different things going on. Yes, this is kind of a transition place for pirates to kind of jump from one crew to the next, you know. But sometimes they do just come in with their captain, and this is a resting place for pirates, and thus they're there to get whatever food or drink or any other activities they can before they have to get back out and sail. So there is that. The town itself is... So it kind of has some things going on. Of course, like you had mentioned before, it does have a large nightlife. There's a lot of inebriated people walking around, a lot of pirates just kind of looking and trading different magical items and different things. You see people going off to the market not too far off in the woods. Where are you guys going right now? What do you guys do? What do you guys say? Need a pretty picture of what's happening.
John will turn to Crew and Lucas and just say, things have gone not great. I think it would be good if we got out of here as soon as possible. What else do we need to do before we set sail tonight?
Well, I'm waiting on my purchase from the magic shop. It won't be ready until tomorrow night.
Didn't we need to repair our boat?
We should get a shipwright on board one way or another through gold or coercion. And they can repair it as we go. If my aunt is here, then we will not make it off of this island. I will not make it off of this island.
Now that
I haven't seen sail. It's been a long time since I've seen sail.
So
she's not here. I haven't seen
her.
Yes,
she is.
Oh. I've been here 3 weeks. No one's been around.
Fleeska was just right there.
He saw his boat yesterday. It's just his boat.
His boat is a part of her fleet. Even if she herself is not here, her men are, and they will come in numbers.
What is just Fleeska?
To attack us.
We'd go kill him right now. I know where his boat is.
Yes, we could kill him, but he probably has 100 men under his command, and we cannot kill those 100 men.
Okay. You've got 1,000 underneath you, right?
No.
You're the captain of your vessel.
No, I am.
Gives you a weird...
That is a conversation for another day, Crew.
That's Captain Bull to you.
Bull, apologies.
He gives you a weird look. Now, you're still kind of magicked like a human, right? Like, he's just kind of giving you like a... kind of a weird look like a human, really, in charge of a crew of... Okay. You know. He doesn't quite believe it, but he's there for it. You're not the captain of your boat, John? John?
Yes!
You're the captain of your boat, right?
I don't understand how in your even most inebriated mind, this is the conversation that we need to be having right now. When there are potentially bands of men headed this way to cut us limb from limb and drag us behind their ship.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
Yeah. Not good.
Okay.
Let's get what we need, get on our boat, and hopefully stay alive.
Stay alive. Okay. I can stay alive.
Jean, do you know where we get a ship right, like, ASAP?
Yes. There is a man named Benfrick. He's a Goliath. He will at least, he won't join our crew, but he should know someone that hopefully we can collect tonight. I would say it might be best to split up and take care of any last things that we need to, and get back aboard our vessel as soon as possible.
I can take, Drake here if you and Lucas want to head into Benfrick. I'll meet you at the dinghy.
I think that's a phenomenal idea, and I would say if we are not back in 30 minutes from the time you arrive there, you might go ahead and cast off. I can call Nameless to my side, and he can fly out and appraise you of our situation.
That works. Good luck. And I'm going to turn around, drape my arm over Drake and start dragging him towards the shore. And as I do, say, "So, you've been friends with Jean for a while? Well, give me all the deets."
"Yeah. Have I ever told you about the time when he fell in cow manure?"
"No, you haven't." And we'll just kind of continue talking as we're walking towards the shore.
Okay, perfect.
Jean, Lucas, what would you like to do? There's the rum cake store with your friends there. There is the magic item place. There is the Hag's Market. There is the shipwright place.
Yes, I think we're going to head towards the shipwright and get everything taken care of there, and then head back to the dinghy.
So you have to, you know that you're going to have to travel back through town. You're going to have to go through to the other end of the market, and then there's a cove on the far side of the island that essentially is designed for ships to go into. And it's kind of got some small gates and walls so that it's easier to get the ships into this little cove where he can make repairs before they go back out on the ocean.
Okay.
Would it be easier to sail the boat around the island and instead of walking over? Like, is it that far?
I mean, it's gonna take an hour or two for you definitely to cross to get there. It is kind of up to you guys in general, because essentially, John, you do know that you still have to make a deal with him first before he's going to open the gate for your ship to come in. And so it's going to take more work yelling at the person at the gate to try to get in to talk to him on the shipyard side versus the approaching him from the island first and then moving your ship that way.
Yeah, I think Lazy Man didn't realize how far away it was.
Okay.
But I think still it would be, because our mission is to try and get a shipwright to come with us aboard our ship to make repairs as we go.
Right.
And with us being in Saleh's territory and with her knowing that we're here now, it's not really safe for us to stay here for like 2-3 more days while repairs are being made.
Okay.
It's not safe for me to be here. They can do whatever they want. I'm getting off the island.
That's fair.
So with that in mind, I might retcon and tell crew that to wait for us for a few hours, or to just go ahead and get aboard the ship, and we'll send word with Nameless once we're headed back.
Sounds good to me.
But yeah, we'll still make the journey on foot, get out there as fast as we can, and see if we can't steal an apprentice or journeyman shipwright and maybe another hand or two.
Okay. As you make your way there, you're gonna have, like I said, you're gonna have to travel through that market. You see some hunchback, weird-looking, pimple-nosed ladies kind of managing different stalls there. Make a perception check there for me, Lucas.
Perception 5.
Yeah, you still see... You see some things, you know, there's the frog legs, there's apples, there's carrots, there's butterfly wings, there's different types of hairs, and incense and different things, too, that are for sale along the way.
And this is just, like, street vendor type thing that we're walking by?
Yeah, so the market's kind of like a street vendor type deal, and so think of, like, Aladdin where they have those little stalls that you walk through.
Right.
Same kind of mentality where there's like, you know, the little carapace up at the top, or the, you know, the cloth that's kind of up at the top that holds the kind of the top together and makes a little roof, and then there's like a little wooden stall. And it's known as the Hag Market, and so you kind of see some different, they're all ladies, and they all kind of have like these weird bumps and stuff on their faces. They kind of have this green, greasy hair. Jean, you would know that a lot of the people that sell at this market are probably sea hags.
Okay.
The food's been good. You've bought stuff from there before and not been poisoned or anything like that. Though, you have received cursed food before if people were rude or disrespectful at the market when going through or when making purchases. But, you know, I guess you would assume that Lucas is, in general, not going to be making that type of issue for you.
Yeah.
So,
as we're walking through, I'm going to try and not slow us down, so I'm gonna be looking left and right and all over the place, and just my head is like whipping backwards and forwards, and I'm like dashing between the stalls, just like paying whatever advertised price there is without haggling, and trying to pick up as much as I can while running between Jean and these stalls all the way across.
And remind me, what are
you would. You had mentioned frog legs, so I'm going to get 2 sets of legs.
Okay. Like 5 silver pieces.
And you had mentioned butterfly wings, so I'm going to get, I guess, a bag of those, whatever that is.
All right. It's like a silver piece per pound.
All right. I'll get 2 pounds.
Okay. All right. What else is on your list that you were looking for? I know that you had some important things that Lucas was specifically trying to find.
That was just me role-playing. Tiger fish meat. 3 pounds of tiger fish meat.
Yeah. Yeah, you're about to exit, and you can kind of see up ahead the large structure in which the shipwright person would be at. I don't know if Jean is talking to you at all during this, but you're about to leave that market, and when you see one stall, and there she is, the biggest and most beautiful tiger fish you've ever seen in your life.
I just run over to it, and my eyes are like, have sparkles, and I'm like, wow, how much?
The sea hag there, she's got a big grin on her face, her nose sticks out a little bit. My hair is like coming off of her nose, but also out of her nose. Like, she doesn't trim it. Her hair is like seaweed. She's got one big white eye, and the other one's kind of like it's been removed. It's shut closed, and so she's kind of got some of her hair covering that spot. She's got a large hump and just long, gangly arms. And you want this one?
Is this one for you?
It very much is.
Ah. How about 20 gold pieces?
Okay. All right.
Oh. Okay.
And I slap 20 gold down, and I just, like, pick it up.
Oh, anything else strike your fancy? I've got clams and starfish and...
Sure. Yep. That sounds good.
Oh, okay. A gold piece for the pound.
I slap another gold down.
Oh, I meant 30 gold pieces for the pound.
I slapped down 30 gold.
Oh! She's looking around. Anything else? I've got stacks of seaweed and other types of fish and...
Yeah.
What do you want? What are you looking
all
for?
All of it.
Oh, 200 for the lot?
Okay.
She
yeah, she's blown away. She'll take the 200 gold pieces. She'll wrap them up in a satchel for you, and then you'll see she'll snap her fingers, and her whole stall and herself will just disappear with a kind of a cackle as she disappears.
And I'll have all this and just a big bundle in front of me, and I'm like, Sean, I got all this amazing stuff. It must be so good. It was so expensive.
Sean will look in the bag. What does he see?
I mean, you see the massive, large tiger fish. You see,
yeah,
like a shark head in there. You see some different types of clams, fish eggs, starfish, just bundles of seaweed. And a lobster claw or two in there as well. So, just random knickknacks from the ocean.
How much did you pay for this?
I think I got it at a steal, like 250 gold.
Is this your first time managing money?
No.
Okay. John just won't say anything. He'll look back and forth between the bag and Lucas for a few seconds. Maybe you can consult with the captain before making big purchases.
Crew isn't here. So I just went with my gut.
Yeah, okay. No, that's looks good. I bet that will be very tasty. You've done wonders with what we've had in the past.
Thank you. And I'll just keep walking.
Perfect. I'll say with that fun exchange, anything that was on your list to find, you were able to find it, no problem.
Okay. So I envision this as like a teenage shopping trip montage where I'm just picking up different things and like running around, you know, one of those movie teen drama things.
It does slow you down a little bit, John. Not too much, but definitely enough to get you a little annoyed. So
yeah, John like passes through the market and is just waiting on the other end while Lucas is, you know, getting all his goodies.
Perfect. As a teenage montage is great. You're walking from one stall to the next, and each of the different types of hags are just happy to sell you whatever you're asking for. They kind of do the same thing as the other one did, where they notice that you're willing to spend that much money. Cool, let me see if I can get you to buy something else as well. Special price just for you seems to be the phrase that continues to happen from one stall to the next.
This place is amazing, John. We'll have to come back. But I know you've got somewhere to be.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Let's get a move on. I'm glad you got what you need for your recipes. I know this tournament is very important to you.
Yeah, very important. I mean, the tournament obviously is very important, and feeding everybody on the boat is just as important, obviously.
Yes, quite. Let's go.
You've passed through. You're walking on. You're running in the night sky. The stars are out. At this point, probably the red moon is up. There's palm trees everywhere. People seem to be celebrating around you. And as the sand crunches between your toes as you're running through the night, you get to the Shipwright's Cove. That's where we'll end for this evening. Thank you, everyone, for being amazing and listening to this podcast. And next time, we'll be deadly serious next time.
So as the episode fades, you get a close-in of Crew and Drake on the boat as Crew is introducing him to the three sisters.
Whoa! These are amazing toys! How did you manage that?
Oh, we have a lot more to show you.
Clark was impressed. That didn't happen very often. The bugbear monk had sent a musket shot straight back at the gnoll pirate who fired it like it was a toy ball. Of course, Clark was more interested in the herring gun that fired just before the pirate fired. The Breaker of the Seas was intrigued by this herring gun and his unique human warlock and human chef companions. Clark was very interested in getting to know these seafaring adventurers. He was eager to scratch the itch of his master's curiosity. What he was not interested in, however, was getting caught up in this fight. Not yet. He ducked out of the tavern.
You step out into the moonlight. You see the stars above you. The noise behind you is obviously a commotion that, as you mentioned, probably not something you want to get involved in. But of course, you are on a pirate island and there are drunk pirates everywhere. But your focus and your eye, you know why you're here. It's the big purple tent in the middle of town.
Yep, and Clark makes his way towards it.
As you approach this tent, you know that you know what's going on inside, and you see the etchings of what they perceive your master to look like as his tentacles are drawn on the outside of this tent. There's one purple cloaked man standing on the outside. Should be promoting your master, but instead is just standing there and staring off into space.
I'll make a small amount of noise as I'm getting within earshot of him as I'm approaching.
Hi! Clark, right?
Yes, that's Lord Coldwater to you.
Lord Coldwater, I'm sorry, I apologize. We weren't expecting you until later. You're here so fast.
Yes, well, the master has his reasons that he wants me here at this time. Gather Simblar and Connor and have them meet me in the command portion of the tent.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry. And he heads on in, running, almost scrambling. You see his webbed toes are not serving him very well. This poor Triton. He's not used to walking on land.
Yeah, Clark will make his way on into the command portion of the tent to wait.
You walk in. As you mentioned, there's several different sections. There's definitely the dig site in the back of the large tent, and it's about the size of a circus tent. There's one big pole in the middle, but there's definitely a kind of a sectioned off area where meetings can be held, assuming you go kind of in that area.
Mm-hmm.
There's a red couch there, a nice little coffee table, and a small desk in the far side.
Yeah, Clark will go and kind of prop himself on the desk as though he's just taking command of the whole area.
Perfect. Eventually, Simblar and his other assistant, whose name...
Connor.
Yes, you remember Connor. Good that it clicked. Your master reminded you as you walked in. Simblar walks in, and he's wringing his hands a little bit. You see this sea elf. He's... Generally, sea elves have a darker colored skin, but you know... He's like you, reborn. His skin is a little bit lighter. His eyes are gaunt. His fin is down, and his hands are ringing. I'm so sorry. I did not realize you were coming so soon. Lord, Lord Coldwater, I just didn't think it would be this quick. The master will be pleased, though. I think we have found the statue. It's we're almost there. I can feel it.
Well, I'm glad that you are confident in these things, Simblar, but you know that the master has certain expectations, and he expected the statue delivered 2 moons ago.
Yes. The ground here is hard. Connor can attest to that, can't you?
I'm sure, Simblar. I'm sure you have a wonderful, well-rehearsed list of excuses, but let's bring all interested parties into the room first. And Clark will reach into his pocket of his leather jacket and pull out a small orb. Just a glass orb, but when he activates it in his hand, it glows with an eerie blue light. He sets it down. It's got one slightly flattened part to it. He sets it down on the table next to him, and up pops kind of a blue ghostly figure of the Kraken, of the Breaker of the Seas. And he's just like a large D&D miniature. Hopefully our audience knows what that's going to look like. About that size, and kind of a blue spectral sort of form. And immediately a dark and eerie presence enters the heads of all those that are gathered there. And he says, "Now, Simblar, why don't you go ahead and tell me what it was you had to say about the progress on the statue?"
Both Connor and Simblar kneel. I apologize. The rock is hard. We're getting closer. We'll be there soon.
I do not want your excuses. Perhaps you are not as fit as I originally imagined.
This voice echoes in all of your minds. Simblar wrings his hands. I apologize. I can try harder. I can do better. Please, I don't want to lose this. I know that if I do this, you bring my family back.
Kraken turns to you. Is he deserving of a family? One who cannot provide?
I think not, Master.
Perhaps it's time for you to change order around here. I grow impatient, waiting in the dark waters to be able to return.
So, yeah, so the Kraken, the astral figure of the Breaker of the Seas, puts off a dark, inky aura and immediately Symbolar's eyes turn solid black. It becomes very obvious that he can't move, and immediately Clark will turn and doff his leather naval officer's jacket, and Connor is surprised to see that there's two large holes in either side of his cotton tunic. And if he didn't know any better, he would swear that Clark's tattoos come alive as two inky tendrils shoot out of those holes in his shirt, grab a hold of the wrists of Symbolar, raise him nearly to the top of the tent, probably 15 feet in the air, and another slightly different but spectral tentacle pops out of the ground underneath Symbolar and wraps itself around his ankles, and slowly his body begins to freeze from the feet and ankles up, and slowly you see his pupils constrict. He is obviously trying to scream out in fear and agony, but nothing's coming out. Slowly his entire body freezes, at which point the spectral tentacle wrapped around his feet dissipates, and immediately Clark puts his hands together and wraps an inky black energy in the midst of them, mixes it together, and fires it out and shatters Symbolar's frozen corpse into about 1,000 pieces. He puts his jacket back on, all the tentacles, all the magic dissipates, goes away. He turns back to his master to wait on the response.
Get things in working order here.
Yes, master. And so the orb will deactivate. Clark will put it back in his pocket. He'll turn to Connor, who I'm assuming is trembling and peeing on himself at this point.
Yeah, Connor, this little half-elf man, was not expecting to be dealing with any of this tonight. He was just a simple scribe for Mr. Symbolar.
So Clark, having again worked with him before, he'll walk up and put his hand on Connor's shoulder and go, Connor, we mustn't fail the master. I need you to see to it that the statue is brought up and delivered by the end of the week.
Yes, okay. I can make sure that happens. Absolutely. No problem. Runs off.
Very good. And Clark will kind of muse to himself. I may not remember much from my past life, but I think I'll go try to tempt some fates.